I'm glad that you're here this morning as we begin this new series that I talked about, Love Like Jesus. And so I just want to dive right into this. And as I do, I'd really like to get some of your participation to start with, if I can, okay? So how many of you have siblings? Anybody have brothers and sisters? Okay, almost all of us. All right, so you have brothers and sisters. So we all know that there's been a lot of study on birth order because some people think that it matters. So how many of you are the oldest? You're the firstborn. All right. Well, so you guys are probably have a little bit of an advantage because the survey goes that most firstborn children are by loving parents that actually wanted you to be there and planned you. So you're loved. All right. So how many of you are the second born? Second born? How many of you knew that if you're the second born that you were a play toy for the firstborn, right? They were like, you know what? We got to have something for this kid to do. Let's have him a friend, okay? And so you're second born. How many of you are third born? Anybody third? Well, for you, there's probably very few pictures of you, right? Oh, goodness. And it just goes on from there, right? It just doesn't get any better. But but how many of you grew up, you have these siblings in your family? And for me, there was six kids, so I had five brothers and sisters. And so there's no pictures of me either. I'm trying to get back to where I was going. How many of you grew up in a family like mine to where, as brothers and sisters, man, you could fight, you could argue, you could tease, you could give, you know, noogies, you could do all of that thing, but nobody else had better do that, right? So you don't mess with your brother or your sister because, you know, we can all do it to each other because we're family. But the moment somebody from the outside comes in and tries to hurt one of us, that it was on, right? I mean, the Miller clan was ready. And so, but that's the way I grew up, is that you don't mess with anyone in our family. But now to switch gears just a little bit, how many of you maybe have had a sibling, a brother or sister, that maybe was hurt by someone? They were abused or hurt in some way. And it wasn't like it took them any moment in your mind. You just automatically went from happy to, I hate that person. They hurt my sibling. Maybe you're here this morning and it wasn't your sibling that got hurt. Maybe it was you. Maybe you were abused. And so today, with your permission, I just want to tell you a great story about forgiveness. You see, when we can hate somebody so fast, but yet it is so hard to forgive, isn't it? That process seems to take a long time. But this morning, I just want to share a story that I have permission to share with Francine Cano. So I got a picture of her here. Francine, y'all all know her. Yeah, give it up for Francine. She's a member here at Grace Point Church, and she serves on our dream team. So, Francine, she was the only girl, but she had four brothers, and she had a difficult childhood, to say the least. She was the only girl, but her mom was a single mom, and her mom had hit some hard times, and her mom had to make some difficult decisions. And so her mom started placing the kids with family, and Francine, she got placed with her grandma. Francine's grandma wasn't very nice, according to Francine. She didn't want her there. She made that known, that she really wasn't welcome, but she was going to take her because that was her thing to do, and that was what she was supposed to do as a grandma, but she really didn't want Francine there. And so life was tough when you're not wanted. And, you know, the love isn't really there that a parent should give a child. And so she had this anger starting to get inside of her towards her grandma because she could tell. And kids aren't dumb. They know when they're loved, right, and when they're not. And so she knew that she wasn't wanted. And so this anger and this bitterness started coming into Francine's life. And then as time went on by, her mom She got a better job, and she was able to kind of get on her feet a little bit. And so she went one day, and she picked up Francine and brought her home to a little place. And she lived with, at this time, she was living with the people that she worked for. And they wasn't very happy that she had went to get Francine, because that meant that there was another person staying there and more food they were going to have to supply. And so they wouldn't even give her a blanket to sleep with. They were like, no, you can get your own blanket. And so then eventually Francine's mom, she meets a man, and she gets married and gets remarried, and they're able to bring all the kids home, and they went and they bought a nice big house. And for the first time, Francine says that her mom was truly happy. She had her family back together. She had a beautiful home, and they were all together. But then things get bad again. One morning, as Francine's new stepdad is going to get ready for work, she finds that he's came into her bedroom and he molests her. And this goes on for several years until Francine just can't stand it anymore. And her and one of her friends, they make up a story that she's going to elope. She didn't want to hurt her mom. She didn't want to tell her mom, is what she tells me. She said, I didn't want to tell her because she was happy for the first time in her life, and I didn't want to be the one to take that away from her. What a responsibility for a young kid, huh? But she didn't want to destroy her mom's happiness, and so she just held on to all this hurt and all this pain and all this hate that she had for this man that was abusing her, until they had made up a story that she was going to elope. She didn't want to tell her mom she was running away. She didn't want to tell her why. And so her best lie that she could come up with was, I'm going to elope. And so that's what she did. But basically, she just ran away. Well, Francine goes on to tell that about a month later, her older brother that had lived here in Dallas, he was already married and was living here in Dallas, that he had called to check on her and asked her, and she said she just broke down, and she told him why. She didn't tell him why she ran away, because she didn't want him to get angry and go take revenge and then him be in trouble. So she just said, I just ran away. And he said, well, I tell you what, you can come and live with me and my wife as long as you'll go to church. If you'll just go to church with us. And so Francine moved in with her brother and his wife, and she began to go to church, and she began to hear the word of God. And during this time, she met a guy named Cecilo. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's Cecil with an O. Am I doing okay, Cecilo? Frank, help me out. Is that right? Okay. And so... she meets this man, and they start dating, and eventually they get married. And things are good for a while, and then one day Francine is taking a walk, and she gets attacked by a man, and he tries to rape her. But God had given her the strength and the ability to fight him off, so he didn't rape her, but she had been attacked. And so Cecilo, from that moment on, things, she said, began to change. He just looked at her different, didn't want to be around her, didn't want to have anything to do with her because this other man had touched her. And so he began abusing her as well, verbally and physically, emotionally. And for 30 years, this abuse kept going, she said. 30 years of a man just abusing a woman. It's hard to even imagine. But she endured it until it came to an end, because the police knocked on the door and arrested him one day. And that was her out. And so she started going to therapy, trying to bring healing, trying to find a way to forgive and to bring healing to her life. And her youngest son that she had, one of her sons, he had been going to CR at another church. And he had been going to CR, and he said, Mom, you've got to get into CR. And so Francine joined CR. She started going in. She started allowing God to do a work in her life and to bring healing, and then eventually forgiveness. She was able to forgive her grandmother that treated her bad when she was a kid. She not only was able to forgive her grandmother, but now she says that she has been able to walk through the forgiveness of her ex-husband, and that she has forgiven him, and that there's no hatred in her heart. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that is a miracle from the Lord. That is someone that, yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Because that's the power that Jesus gives us to be able to go through a time like this and to have this amazing story of forgiveness that she has from people that have hurt her. And in fact, this morning, I want to share with you out of the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus says this. This is how big forgiveness is, okay? It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now watch this, verse 15. Verse 15 says this, "But if you do not forgive," okay, "if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father won't forgive you of yours. And I'm sure if you're here this morning and you're struggling with someone that has hurt you, struggling with unforgiveness, that this morning when you hear me read that scripture, you probably even get this little bit of a sense of panic because you think, I'm doing okay with my relationship with Christ. But then you're like, oh, wait a minute, he's telling me to forgive this person that I hate? And so this panic begins to come inside you when you hear a verse like this, and you're thinking, he wants me to forgive them for what they did? Are you serious? That's in the Bible? And you think to yourself, well, how can I forgive someone that has done something that just seems so unforgivable? And so today, we're going to start this series, and the series, I believe, I really feel like in my heart that it has the potential to change people's hearts. And so I'm calling it Love Like Jesus. And we're going to look at three different aspects of Jesus. And you see, because we're not just called to receive the love of Jesus, but we're actually called to show that same love to one another. Amen? And so this week we're going to look at forgiveness. Next week we're going to look at serving, how Jesus loved us enough to serve us. And then eventually we're going to get to look at love one another in a community. And so those are the three things that I want us to do during this series. But today, we're going to look at the theme of Jesus forgives sinners. Amen? And we're not only sinners who receive forgiveness, but we are sinners who are called by Jesus to love like he loves and to forgive other sinners as well. And sometimes that's a difficult thing, isn't it? Anybody? Amen? All right. And so that's what we're going to look at today. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 23, and here we're going to see one of the most amazing displays of forgiveness that you could ever imagine, and it's all while Jesus is hanging on the cross. Now, we just celebrated Easter last week about Jesus' death and his resurrection, and so, but I want to give you just a little bit of context here so that we know that Jesus was hung on this cross. And we know while he was up there, before he was up there, he was completely innocent. Jesus never sinned. He never did anything. But yet, here he is on the cross, hanging up between two criminals. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 32, we're going to read just a little bit about it. It says this. It says, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. They came to a place called the Skull. They crucified him there along with the other criminals, one on the right and the other on the left." And so now as we read this scripture, I think that a lot of the times we really don't understand exactly what's going on the cross. And for one thing, I think that we get confused is by the movies and the television shows that we see of Jesus hanging up on the cross. And we see him hanging way up there and people are yelling and hollering at him way up there. Well, that is really not the way that they were crucified. You see, crucifixion was it was designed to bring extreme torture and pain and humiliation. And they reserved being crucified for the worst of the worst, usually, because it was a little bit expensive. And they just really, you know, wanted to torture the bad ones. And so what they would do is they would take these stakes and they would lay this cross down on the ground. And they would put these wooden stakes through their hands and through their feet. and then they would stand them up. But where we get a little confused in our movies and stuff is we think that they're way up there. Normally, though, when they would hang someone on a cross, their feet would only be about this far off of the ground. And the reason for that was is that whenever people were going to come by and hurl insults at them and mock them and spit on them, that they could actually do it. They would be basically eye to eye, and they could spit on them, and they could yell at them and scream at them and make bad gestures towards them. And so we always see it as they're way up there, but really they're way down here. And another part of the torture on that was is when they would hang them on the cross, they didn't extend their feet out like this. They bent their knees a little bit, and then they would nail their feet. And the reason they did that is because then when they would sink down out of the pain and out of just exhaustion, they would sink down, and then their lungs would get filled up, and they couldn't breathe. And so to catch a breath, they'd have to push up off of that bottom peg in between their feet with excruciating pain just to get a breath. And so one of the tortures was we're just going to put it that high. That way, if they could just get their foot off and get their feet down, then they could just get that breath. Just another form of torture for them. And so that's one of the things that we see whenever we're talking about Jesus being on the cross. And this is this, when we talk about this and these people coming by and yelling at him and spitting on him, this is exactly what Jesus was going through on this day. And they were just mocking him and just yelling at him. And one of the criminals even said, he said, you saved others. Why don't you save yourself, King of the Jews? And just mocked him and made fun of him. But you see, at that moment when creation was mocking the Creator, Jesus did an amazing thing. He did something that no one else, I believe, could do. He looks up to the Heavenly Father, and in verse 34, we see that he says this. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. At that moment, here he is, Jesus, being crucified in such a horrible way, and he's asking for forgiveness for those that are sinning against him. That's an amazing story of forgiveness. He's telling them, he's saying, forgive them for something that is completely unforgivable. Amen? And can I tell you this morning, if you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. Or somebody you know will be hurt. And I believe this morning in this place that there's many of us right now, and you're carrying this serious wound inside of you. Someone's abused you. They've taken advantage of you. Maybe they lied to you or cheated on you. Maybe someone hurt your child. Someone who is a Christian, maybe they weren't acting very Christ-like towards you. Maybe you were in a church somewhere, and that church was a part of something that hurt you, even whether they knew it or not. And you just get to this point where you're just so full of hate. And maybe you're here this morning. And even somebody that's really sad to me, and I've seen this before, maybe you're here this morning, and the person that hurt you isn't even alive anymore. But yet here you are this morning, sitting here with this bitterness and this unforgiveness for someone that's not even alive anymore. Something happened to you in your life, and now you're angry. Maybe you're even angry at God, and you're saying to yourself, God, why would you let this happen? I had a brother like that. He was hurt in an automobile accident and paralyzed from the waist down, and man, he got mad at God. He would cuss God and curse at God. If he loved me, he wouldn't let this happen to me. And so it's easy sometimes for us to even get mad at God. But maybe you're here this morning, some of you, and you're not mad at anyone but yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You did something that you think, man, I can't believe I even did that. And you can't go back and undo what you did. And so you sit here this morning and you're carrying this unforgiveness towards yourself. You may sit here this morning and even know that God has forgiven you, but you're unwilling, or maybe you're just unable to forgive yourself this morning. And for me, that raises this question, and I want us to address this question this morning as we look how to love like Jesus. I want to ask the question is, how do we forgive like Jesus? How do we forgive like Jesus? Can I tell you that that's at the heart of his gospel? That's at the heart of his gospel. Because see, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to forgive sinners. And as we're forgiven, he calls us to forgive others, right? In fact, the people around us that are skeptical about being a Christian anyways, how do they know that we're followers of Jesus? The Bible says that it's by the way we love one another. And so this morning, I just want to give you two simple truths or two simple thoughts, and I want you to know they're not easy to do, but they're easy to maybe internalize, if you will. And so the first thing that I want to talk about is, how do we forgive like Jesus? The first thing we do is we pray. We pray for those who hurt you. And this is what Jesus was doing himself when he was on the cross, right? And then Jesus taught us to do this. And then we can also look to Luke chapter 6, verse 28. And Jesus says this. He says, bless those who curse you. And then he says, what does he tell us to do? Let's say it together. Pray for those who hurt you. You see, some of you are like, all right, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray they get sick. I'm going to pray they break out in boils. I don't know what you're going to pray. But you do. I pray they suffer. You know, I'll pray for them. But I'm just being honest. That's where some of us are at today, right? And you're like, man, I'll pray for them. And then you think to yourself, you slow down, you say, pray for them. Well, what did Jesus What he said, it just didn't make sense to them. You see, what Jesus said, they're like trying to wrap their mind around it, just like maybe you're here this morning thinking, he's wanting me to forgive this person that did this unspeakable thing. But that's what he tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Jesus says this. He says, you have heard that it was said. So in other words, what he's saying is you've been taught this your whole life. Okay? So you've been taught this your whole life. You have heard what it is said. Love your neighbor. And then do what to your enemy? Are we to hate our enemy? No. He says, but I tell you, he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Man, I'm telling you, the minute that Jesus was saying this to them, I can tell you, you could probably hear a pin drop. Because you see, the Romans, they worshiped the God of revenge. And they had always been taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and blood for blood. When someone wrongs you, you wrong them back. And when they take something from you, well, then you take it back. When they flip you off in the car, well, then you flip them right back off. Right? No, wait a minute. And then we pray for forgiveness, right? Maybe that's why we don't have bumper stickers for Grace Point Church, right? All right. I'm going to keep moving. But Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you and love your enemies. And today, maybe you've been going to church for a while and you're like, yeah, I love your enemies. I've heard that all before. That's really easy, isn't it? It's really easy to love your enemy until what? Until you have one. Right? Until someone hurts your little sister, or maybe they hurt your daughter, or they lie about your wife, or they lie about you. You see, it's easy to love your enemies until you have one. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to love my enemies anymore. I don't like what the Bible's telling me to do. But here's what I hope that you're going to see, that if you've been devastated by someone, someone's let you down, someone's lied to you, someone's gossiped about you, the first place that we need to actually start is to actually just pray for them. We pray for them. Not that something bad happens to them, but we actually just start to pray for them. And I think to myself, well, why did Jesus teach this? Well, it could be for a lot of reasons, but maybe one of the reasons Jesus taught this is because it takes a right attitude. And Jesus wants us to have a right attitude. You see, a right attitude precedes a right action. A right attitude precedes a right action. And when I'm overwhelmed with bitterness in my own heart towards someone, and I think to myself, there's no way that I'm going to have the right attitude towards them or even the right action, right? So when we're filled with this emotion and this bad attitude, there's no way we could have right actions. And so when we begin to pray for someone, we begin to get a right attitude. Because I can tell you right now, if you're waiting on this feeling, where I'm waiting on this feeling and then I'm going to forgive them people, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to be waiting on that feeling until the day Jesus comes back, right? He's going to be, it's not going to happen unless you start doing something. And you got to start doing something that is right, even if it's just in your mind, okay? Even if your actions are still, you're looking at them, giving them the old stink eye every time you see them. But inside, you got to start renewing your mind, right? And eventually, in your mind, you're going to get a right attitude, and that's going to lead to the right actions. And quite honestly, you need God's help to do this. Maybe you can only pray along the lines for this person. Maybe you can think to yourself, I'm not going to pray a whole big prayer for them, but I'm just, God, do something in their life. Just do something in their life, you know? And then after a while, you continue to pray that a little bit, and then after a while, maybe you start saying, God, do something significant in their life. And as you do that, at some point you start praying blessings on them because you start getting the right attitude, you start getting the right actions, and you start praying blessings on them. You say, Lord, bless their home and bless them and help me to not hate them anymore. And when you pray for someone that you hate, when you pray for your enemies, when you pray for someone that has persecuted you in some way, I want you to listen to me this morning. Your prayer, it may or may not change them, but it will always change you. Let me say that again. Your prayer may not always change them, but that prayer will always change you. I want to be changed this morning. You start praying, God, do something significant in their life. Give them some of your greatest blessings. You see, that's what Jesus taught us to do, right? And so how do you love like Jesus? You don't just love those who love you and hate those who hate you. That's what the world would want you to do. But what you actually do is you pray for those who hurt you and you love your enemies. And that's how you start getting to healing right there. So that's number one. We pray for those who hurt us. The second thing that we do is you forgive as you've been forgiven. Now this one's a little tough too. This one's hard too. You see, we forgive in the same manner that Jesus has forgiven us. Colossians 3:13 tells us this. It says, Paul is talking and he says, forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So how do we forgive? We forgive as the Lord forgave us. Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus has forgiven me of an awful lot. I can't speak for you. I don't know the lies you told. I don't know the people you've hurt. I don't know the deeds you've done, but I know myself, the things that I've done, and I know the cost that Jesus had to pay for my sins, and I know the things that I've done, and so it's all inside my mind, and I can't speak for you, but I can tell you one thing. I know that I've been forgiven of a whole lot, and if I've been forgiven of a whole lot, then I need to forgive a whole lot. Amen? And that leads me to the subject that is Maybe it's impacting someone in the room today. Maybe I wasn't even planning on speaking about this very much, but maybe in your marriage, maybe you've been betrayed. And you can say, oh, I got the grounds for divorce. He cheated on me or she cheated on me. And you think to yourself, I've got the grounds for divorce. And guess what? You do. If somebody cheated on you, you do have the grounds for divorce biblically. But guess what else you have the grounds for? You also have the grounds for forgiveness. Amen? And I don't know who this is this morning, but maybe there's a marriage that's in this room this morning and you're just hanging on by a thread, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you. I pray that he'll empower you to do something that you can't do on your own, and that's forgive them. You see, in our fleshly nature, we may not have what it takes to be able to forgive, but by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can learn to forgive just like we have been forgiven. Amen? And if you do that, who knows what will happen? Who knows what will happen? God may have just saved a marriage in this place this morning because someone chose to forgive as they've been forgiven this morning. But how do we do that? You see, we forgive as we've been forgiven. At some point, you have to make a choice. And I want you to understand, this will be a choice. It's not going to be a feeling like I talked about earlier. It will be a choice where you say, you know what? I want to forgive. And maybe you're not there yet this morning. But you're going to choose. There's going to be a choice. You're going to choose to do what God's word says, and you're going to start working towards that. Or you're just maybe just like Francine did. She was hurt, and she made a choice, and she worked towards that. And maybe this morning, that's what you need to do. You need to start saying, you know what? I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to start working towards that. Or you can make another choice, and you can say, you know what? I don't know that I want to do that yet. I'm just going to be bitter. I'm just going to be the best bitter person there is. Somebody were to ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up? No, I'm going to be the best bitter person there is. You know, I don't want to forgive. But can I tell you what bitterness does? Anne Lamott says this. She says, bitterness is like drinking a poison and hoping the other person dies. That's what bitterness is. And I thought, man, what a great description of bitterness. And so my question to you this morning, is that your game plan? Are you going to drink the poison of bitterness and hope that that person dies? Or are you going to make the choice this morning to say, you know what? God has forgiven me of so much that I can't even count the things and the times that he's forgiven me. And so I need to start forgiveness this morning and make the choice to forgive. You see, what do you do when you've been hurt? You take it to God. And you be honest with him. And you just own up to it. And you just pour it all out there. And then before you know it, one day you're going to get into the car and you're going to put that Frozen CD in. And you're going to start singing, let it go, let it go. And all right, I'll stop singing. But you make a choice. It's a choice. And by faith, sometimes, you just have to make this choice. You may not feel like it, but if you'll start saying, you know what? I'm going to let this go. I'm going to let go of what they did. I'm going to let go of what they said. I'm going to let go of all this bitterness. I'm going to let go of all this unforgiveness. And I just want to let it go. You see, that can be the choice that you make. And in the same way that Jesus let your sins go, in the same way that Jesus shed his blood for your sins and paid for all that, you too can say, you know what? By faith, I'm choosing to let it go. And I'm going to let God begin to heal me. And maybe because you were willing to love like Jesus, those same people that we hated, those same people that made you mad or hurt you in some way, maybe because you were willing to love like Jesus, maybe they'll be in heaven one day just like you will. Amen? And boy, is that not just the most amazing thing. But can I tell you that it's hard, and it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But the day that you choose, and if today is that day and you choose to do that, let me tell you, from that day on, whenever it is, your life will change. The day that you let it go, that will be the day that Jesus sets a prisoner free, and that prisoner will be you. Because you've been held prisoner to this unforgiveness and to this hate. And I don't know this morning, today, what you're carrying around, what hurt is there in your heart, but I know this. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, he's calling you and I to a higher standard. And the world is going to teach you. They're going to say, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they're going to say, love those who love you and hate those who hate you. But that's not Jesus, and that's not what he tells us to be. And that's not what he's asking us to do. You see, we actually have to do things different, don't we? Because we're different in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So we have to do things different. And so what we do is we pray for those who persecute us. We pray for our, and we love our enemies, and we forgive them just as we've been forgiven this morning. Stand with me if you would, and let us pray. If you could come to the piano, please. We're just going to pray this morning. Father, this morning I pray that you'll just begin a healing in our hearts today. We ask that, God, while we're here in your presence, that you'll do something that we can't do for ourselves. Something that only you can do, Jesus. And we seek your face this morning. And I ask you, Father, this morning that you'd help us to forgive those who have hurt us. I pray this morning you'll fill our hearts with love for our enemies. And you'll help us to forgive just as we've been forgiven. And as you begin to pray this morning, as you just bow your heads and pray and you just seek the Lord this morning for, let me just ask those of you, maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying some type of hurt or unforgiveness or bitterness with you this morning, and you're hurt right now in this very place. Someone did something to you, and today you're saying, you know what, Pastor Jack, I choose to let it go. I choose to forgive and let it go. If that's you this morning and you want that, you want to start this journey to forgiveness and healing, if that's you, just raise your hand up this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you this morning for the honesty of these people. God, as they've raised their hands this morning, Father, I just praise you today because I know that through your Holy Spirit, you're doing a work in our hearts and in our lives. And God, that's why we got up this morning and we put on our clothes and we ate breakfast and we came into your house this morning is because, God, we know we need you as our Savior. We know we need you to lead us and guide us into all truth and all righteousness. And so today, God, if we're to love like you, we're to forgive like you. And Father, that to be honest, it seems impossible with some of the situations in our life and some of the ways that these people have been hurt. God, it seems unforgivable. But God, we know that some of the things that we did ourselves, Father, are probably pretty unforgivable. And Lord, I pray that just as you forgave us of those horrible things, God, that we will have the same forgiveness and love inside of us that you had. And you'll help us to start this journey of love and forgiving those that have hurt us. And Father, even if it's in just a quick prayer, Father, we know that if maybe your prayer won't change them, but we know that it'll change us. And God, that's where we need the change first of all. We need it inside of us, God, so that we can have a right attitude and then our actions become right. And God, that we can move forward in this plan of forgiveness that you have given us. And God, today, I pray just like Francine was able to forgive her grandma, and she was able to forgive her ex-husband of all this abuse. God, I pray that whoever is in this room and they're hurt today, God, that you would just fill them with forgiveness today. God, that you would speak into their heart and into their mind today, and that you would just help them to take that first step towards you and say, Father, I need you. I need you to forgive me of my unforgiveness, of my bitterness. And Father, help me not to hate them, but help me to love them like you love them and like you love me. Father, today I pray for those that are here that they may not know you as their personal Savior. You might be here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm so full of hate and I've just now heard about this Jesus and I want this Jesus in my heart so that I can start this journey. If that's you this morning and you need Jesus in your life to forgive you of your sins, just raise your hand right up and slip it down because Jesus is here this morning. I want you to know that you're not here this morning by accident, but you were here this morning because the Holy Spirit invited you and he spoke to you and he said, get up this morning. He said, go into my house. This morning I have forgiveness for you, and I have forgiveness to give to you for those that have hurt you. And so this morning, if you're needing that forgiveness, I just want you to pray with me, and I want everyone to pray this prayer with me so that no one prays alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner, and I believe that you died for my sins so that they could be forgiven. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your love so that I can forgive as you forgave me. I give you my life. It's not my own. In Jesus' name, amen.